Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As we head into Thanksgiving week, there's good and bad news when it comes to poverty and hunger in America. The good news is that thanks to the Biden administration's pandemic relief programs and the general economic recovery, our nation made a sizable dent in hunger and poverty over the last 2 years. The bad news is that many of the relief efforts that were so effective have been allowed to expire, and as we enter this year's holiday season, the number of people of all ages who are often unsure about where their next meal will come from remains obscenely high. Nearly 600,000 people in just the 34 counties served by the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, for instance, are food insecure. And recently, in order to get a gauge on the size and scope of the challenge and what average folks can do to help out in the coming weeks and months, I sat down with the new president and CEO of the food bank, Ashley McCumber. Well, Ashley McCumber, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's absolutely my pleasure to be with you, Rob.
So you've come home to North Carolina. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you found yourself back here and taking this new job.
Rob, you are correct. I am a native North Carolinian. I grew up here in Wayne County and Duplin County. And my mom still lives next to the Mount Olive Pickle plant where I lived most of my life. So I am coming back home after many decades of working in the nonprofit sector in a cross-section of areas, but most recently in the last 15 years, working in San Francisco in one of the largest Meals on Wheels programs in the country, touching about 5,000 people a day with two meals a day, and trying to address not just hunger, but isolation of people who are homebound.
So you had a huge budget and staff there. Are there lessons you learned from your time leading that organization that might be applicable here?
Well, I mean, I think there are lessons, what I call BC, before COVID, and yeah. lessons post-COVID. I think before the pandemic hit us in the hunger field, we knew that we had a growing senior population, a baby boomer coming of age, and not necessarily folks who were going to be aging with the types of supports to keep them in their homes independent and with the nutrition and other services that they need. And then the pandemic hit, and all of us suddenly saw them and understood how many people are aging in the community. And also on the food bank side, how many people are just one job away, one healthcare crisis away from needing assistance and so forth. So I think the biggest lessons that I learned from San Francisco back to here is that there are way too many people who need basic services and also really are unnoticed. And we need to do a better job post the pandemic, keeping the light really shined on the population that needs our assistance and really kind of redefine who they are.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. From what I read, this is just a remarkable number. There are nearly 600,000 people who could potentially face hunger in the food bank's 34 county service region. Are these folks just unemployed? Are they're just not making enough to make ends meet? Remind us who these individuals are that might be taking advantage of the services you all provide.
Yeah, I think the one thing that COVID taught us is that the people in the food bank lines are our neighbors. Much like many of us who are experiencing challenges in our monthly budget, you got to pay your housing costs, whether it be rent or a mortgage, you've got transportation to deal with, you've got healthcare, you've got issues in terms of trying to make sure your kids have what they need. And sometimes at the end of the month, things just do not add up. And a lot of times people think, well, these are just the people living under poverty, federal poverty. And actually, quite the contrary, I think more and more, it's those people who are gainfully employed who just are not meeting the bills to the end of the month, and they need assistance to be able to make ends meet.
Thankfully, there's some signs maybe that inflation is finally beginning to ease, but I trust that's been a contributing factor and probably doesn't help the food bank either in terms of its allocation of resources, probably put some strain on you as well.
Well, the current conditions, inflation is really hitting us in two ways. One, it continuing to have people needing to be in our lines because, again, food costs have gone up. Just think about protein alone, eggs and other protein, up 22%.
Wow.
And so on the client side, the people who are going to the pantry served by the food bank, they are even further behind because of the cost of just going to the store. On our side, there's an impact as well, which is the cost of getting and sourcing and even getting the donated product that we need to keep the food bank going. So it's really kind of our new. You know, we've seen the pandemic lines shrink from their high of us putting out over 120 million pounds of food in 2020. And now we're still putting out over 100 million pounds of food. So we haven't shrunk back down to the pre-pandemic levels. And I don't think unless we are able to deal with the challenges that so many people face right now, we're going to see a return to those levels.
You mentioned seniors being an issue in your service, the service you provided in previous nonprofits. Are these folks coming forward more just naturally now, or are there outreach efforts that you undertake to reach out to people who may be getting along in years?
Well, I think in terms of the seniors, to a large degree, they find trusted partners on the ground, and then they may be serviced by the food bank. And I think you know, Rob, that the food bank is just this massive collector of food that then works on the ground with more than 700 partners across the 34 counties. And when you're looking at serving populations, some of which have not accessed food services before, it's the programs on the ground that they build trust with. So to a large extent, they may connect with a local pantry. They may not even know they're being served by the food bank. That's where a lot of the, quote, end users of the food bank product come from. But obviously, people are getting referred from a lot of different sources. They may be getting referred to from other nonprofits. They may be referred to by healthcare providers, which is something more and more we're beginning to work with as well. So there's a lot of different ways people enter the system, but we try to meet that need as much as we can.
We're talking with Ashley McCumber, who's president and CEO of the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, serves a 34-county region in Central and Eastern North Carolina, and talking about the work of the food bank and some of the challenges they face in the current environment. You know, back in September, the Biden administration hosted the first White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health, really in half a century. And the president says he wants to eliminate food insecurity by the end of the decade. And it's obviously a lofty goal, but I wonder if you have any thoughts on that. And what are some of the changes maybe that might need to occur if we were ever to truly get close to reaching that goal?
It's certainly a big nut to crack, Rob, in terms of how do we really address the root causes of hunger in our communities. And that's one of the big shifts. If you look across food banks and the Feeding America Network, we're all about solving the hunger crisis on the street today. But more and more, we're beginning to look more long term about how we can end the lines. And there's no way to put it, but you have to address the other things that are driving people to the food line. So do they have jobs? What is their housing situation and costs? What is their living wage? All of those issues, the cost of medical care. We're not compartmentalized. It's not as if food is separated or not a domino to other things. So I think as we look at the food bank's future, we're looking at the notion of how can we be a part of creating lasting change on who's in the line and why are the same people in the line. We begin to look at those remedies and work with our partners on the ground, as well as to try things to address root causes of hunger. And I think that's to some degree what the White House conference was getting at. It's not enough just to continue to put out volumes of food. You have to look long-term to solutions that are leading people to be accessing pantries, in food lines, at congregate senior meal sites, needing home delivered meals, needing food boxes delivered to the home, et cetera. So it is a longer conversation, but there are many ways that the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina is already marching towards that goal, along with many partners across the country.
Obviously, it remains central to your work is providing food to people. And it seems to me that probably a few decades ago, the focus was let's gather canned goods and let's get those to people in need. And now it seems like it's gotten a much more focus on nutritious food and helping people live a healthy life. Am I accurately portraying sort of the shift in focus that's taken place?
I do think there is a rapid move to understand it's not just about a box of food, but for whom and for what health condition, and kind of the conversation about food is medicine. The idea that we can do so much more than just count calories and so forth. So I do think the food bank is moving in that direction quite significantly. We have a prescribed food box for seniors that we're working with. We're looking at other ways to make sure that we're putting out about 40% of everything that we send out the door right now is perishable produce.
Wow.
So we're trying to make sure that we're increasing the amount of fresh produce that people have. You're exactly right in saying this is the future. This is the way that we're going to be thinking in the future, is not just a box of food, but what is in that box. And I can say that this particular food bank, because of its location in North Carolina and its relationship, not only with farmers, but with retailers, is doing a lot already to kind of change the dynamic on the ground of food.
We talked about seniors, and I assume it's also the case that, and from what I can see from the statistics, there are hundreds of thousands, perhaps just short of 200,000 children facing hunger in your service area. And this obviously has got to have a huge impact on just, gosh, their ability to succeed in school and to even have a chance at reaching adulthood in a healthy state.
It's kind of shocking to me. When I first took the job and I started looking at the poverty stats in the 34 counties that we serve, and I realized that more than half of them are above the North Carolina average or and around poverty, which is not great to begin with.
Right.
And then if you really dive down into some of the counties, you see even more alarming statistics. And, you know, our general service area, as you know, Rob, is 18% of the children that we touch through the food bank are food insecure, and 70% actually are eligible for free or reduced lunch. Let's think about that as a society. What do we say when we say it's okay that one in five children are food insecure in the 34 counties that we serve and possibly across North Carolina? But it's worse. If you really dive down, there are some counties in which we serve that 26% of children are food insecure. That can't be acceptable. Yeah. That can't be what we want to say is the basis of the future of the children, their learning, their growth, their stability. And so I'm very proud that the food bank is here to alleviate that. But long term, we have to really address the root causes of why that is.
My goodness, there's so many policies on that will be on the burner in the General Assembly in 2023 and in Congress. We hope you'll be able to speak up on some of those. I guess as we come to the end of our time with Ashley McCumber, who's president and CEO of the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, the holidays are upon us. A lot of families are focused on, you know, big meals and gathering around the table. Tell us about what the next several weeks look like for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. Is it a time of real extreme busyness, or how's it look?
Well, of course, anytime you're dealing with food, the holidays are the pinnacle of food for all of us in our celebration of families and so forth. It also becomes a real point where we're making sure that there's no family out there without food during the holidays. But more importantly, 'tis the season to give. And 75% of what we do every day happens because people give generously for that. Only about 21% of what we do is funded by government programs. And the rest is all donated product. And we're able to put that to work and make sure that through food and distribution, 97 cents of every dollar goes to provide food for folks in the 34 counties that we serve, and that every dollar creates five meals. So I think we're excellent investment, and frankly, the people that we serve are even more important investments.
I would gather you wouldn't mind if listeners maybe got online and checked that out and offered their support for your efforts. How would be the best way for them to do that?
The best way to donate to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina is to visit our website, Food Bank, that's spelled out, lowercase, CENC.org. Food Bank, CENC.org.
We'll put that on the Policy Watch website as well. Ashley, wow, you've got a big job, but congratulations on already seeming to be so completely on top of it. We're so blessed to have you here in North Carolina. Good luck with your work going forward, and we'll look forward to checking in the new year and see how things
continue
to go.
Absolutely blessed to be back, Rob. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.